Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials, known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
WFORadio.com presents NHRA Nitro.
I'm Joe Costello, and this is WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. A weekly look inside the baddest motorsport in the world, NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing.
It's side by side, it's competition, and it's who wins and then the chair of the crowd.
Join me as we go WFO with the stars of drag racing.
Hey, I'm Bob Tasca.
I'm Tony Schumacher.
Hey, you're with Matt Hagen.
Hey, this is Ron Capps, Matt Hagen's personal friend. You're on WFO.
NHRA track announcer Alan Reinhardt stops by each week to break down each race and answer your email questions.
I mean, the Nitro cars put on a tremendous show. They're otherworldly machines. But for people that are really interested in cars, I mean, you wander through the superstock pits, and if you're wondering why you don't see 69 Camaros running around on the street anymore, it's because they're all out there in the stock and superstock pits.
Racing fans from around the globe, it's time to go WFO with Joe Costello.
The 60th annual Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals are here. Hello, everyone, and welcome to WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. If you are a first-time listener and a fan of NHRA Mellow Yellow or Lucas Oil Drag Racing, you have come to the right place, the weekly show that brings it all to you. And we are getting ready for the 60th. And on this show, you are going to hear some of the stories and performers and drivers all behind the scenes of the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. The general manager of Lucas Oil Raceway, Randy Simpson, coming on the show to give us the breakdown of everything that will go on this great race weekend. And if I'm being vague, that's because it's coming together as we speak. We have got calls in. We're getting ready to get on a plane, and we're going to be on location in Indianapolis beginning on Wednesday. So, of course, subscribe, download the WFO Radio app, stick with us. You'll be getting all kinds of news and information coming out of Indy over the course of the long Labor Day weekend. We're going to be racing. It's going to be incredible. You can listen online. You can watch ESPN3. You can check out the broadcast on ESPN, ESPN2, of course, the NHRA mobile app. It's going to be tremendous. All the things going on in front and behind the scenes. We're going to talk all about it. So get ready for the biggest weekend in all of drag racing. And joining us now to start it all off, the voice of the NHRA, Alan Reinhardt, is with us. Alan, welcome back.
Joe, great to be back.
This is a huge, huge event. Anything that lives for 60 years, any event that can survive and grow and thrive over the course of 60 years is a big deal, and in NHRA racing, this is the biggest deal.
Yeah, not really.
No? What do you like better?
No, I'm kidding.
I know.
You know, obviously, with all the history that's gone on there, and especially the fact that, you know, you just look at all of the history that's going to be relived there. I think that's a pretty special thing, too, as well. You know, they're going to have the Legends tent. But, you know, Bob Fry's going to come back and take care of a bunch of that stuff. You know, the Don Garlitz deal that they're going to do. You know, Bob Glidden is going to be there. So many of the heroes that have just made so much history there. It's all going to be part of it, and it's. I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a very special event, even for the most special event, if that makes sense. You know, it's not just another U.S. Nationals, if that makes sense.
It really does. Well, these 10-year increments, every 10 years, the 50th, the 60th, the 70th, when it happens, I would imagine, they are always a huge deal. But the difference between 60 and 70 is, and not to be morbid, but this 10 years could make a big difference in terms of paying tribute to the men and the women that were there at the very beginning that helped grow this sport.
And, you know, that's part of what we've been doing actually quite a bit of the last 10 years. You know, at the 50th annual U.S. Nationals was a big reunion, a big get-together. You know, you look at what the Hot Rod Heritage Series has been doing and so much other stuff that NHRA is doing to pay tribute to their past and just thinking about, you know, where we've come from and where we're headed. It's going to be a very special event, and I'm already looking forward to it. Can't wait for the plane to leave.
Of course, the countdown, the final race to get in the countdown, there are some countdown implications. Of course, in Funny Car, we've spoken about it the past couple of weeks. Tim Wilkerson and Fast Jack Beckman vying for those final position. It's actually close. You know, who knows what might happen, but there's going to be some stress out there in Indy.
Well, there always is, and you know, with the countdown stuff looming, you know, I think a lot of the guys are kind of destined to, you know, it's going to be whatever it's going to be. This is a long event. You know, the sportsman cars actually start running on Wednesday. We don't crown champions until Monday. The pro cars, they'll run Friday, Saturday, Sunday with the two tracks of shootouts, and then eliminations on Monday. It's one that really takes its toll on you by the time it's done. It's always interesting. You know, whoever wins Indy Monday night will be thrilled and will also be relieved that it's almost like, okay, it's over. Now we can get back to the regular business as usual, because it really is just such a monster marathon of an event.
And the Funny Car Final from Brainerd as well, and Pro Stock.
Yeah, Pro Stock semis and on, and then the Funny Car Final, which will be a little bit of extra added. You know, that's just going to be thrown in with the qualifying sessions. But the talk, of course, being that Ron Capps and John Forrest both go in with the possibility of tripling up. They could win Brainerd, win the Traxxas Shootout, which they're both already locked into, and then also win the U.S. Nationals. But that's, you know, that's looking way too far down the road for a sport where everybody agrees you pretty much got to take them one step at a time.
And there are a lot of extra events going on. You mentioned the Traxxas Nitro Shootouts, and the voting is ongoing as we speak, people voting and the percentage of the vote that you get, the number of lottery balls in the lottery. Of course, the lottery will draw who will be the final driver in each of those. That is great to have the folks at Traxxas put up that money. And just an extra bonus, but if you like stock eliminator cars, there are extra bonus races as well, including the factory shootout and the Hemi Challenge.
Yeah, if you're a class car racer, you know, Indy is the place to go. There are still a number of racers that go to Indy specifically to win class, not necessarily to win the U.S. Nationals. And every year, there are cars that run well in class, sometimes win, sometimes don't, but run fast enough to qualify for the U.S. Nationals, but they'll withdraw from the race and leave. They didn't come, you know, they didn't come to run the handicap portion of the program. They came to show that, hey, I have the fastest, whatever, A, B, C, you know, pick your letter out of the alphabet. You know, some of the old school racers went in class at Indy. You know, there was two things that you wanted to win back in the day. You wanted to win class at Indy, and you wanted to win the world championship. And some of the guys still believe that winning class at Indy is that level on the importance list.
Wow, that is going to be tremendous. And just all the associated events, we've got Randy Simpson, the general manager of Lucas Oil Raceway, going to come on the show. Tell us a little bit about some of the events. But one of them I think is kind of cool. Everyone is growing a beard, Alan.
Yeah, a number of people are, yeah. You know, back in 1967, Don Garlitz vowed that he was not going to shave until he ran in the sixes. When he did that in the final round at Indy, won the race, ran in the sixes, then he got the razor out on the starting line and shaved, so they're kind of doing a reenactment for that. And they're going to raise some money for some great charities. I'm sure Randy will talk more about that, but, you know, anybody that wanted to get involved is invited to. I was basically instructed by ESPN that I couldn't do it, so I won't be part of that, but you know, I think Brian is our third announcer that's going to be at Indy. He's been growing his beard, and there'll be a lot of guys out there that are looking a little scruffy at the beginning of the weekend and pretty shiny by the end of it.
Yeah, Brian Loans from Bang Shift looks like he's getting ready for the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Okay, let's go with that.
He's got his playoff beard in full effect. I'm going a little Sonny Crockett 5 o'clock shadow scruff, I think is the way I'm going to rock it.
All right. Well, I'll let you decide whatever works out best for you.
I have to, you know, listen, I have to shave like every fourth or fifth day, so it's not like it's ever going to be that thick with us. But as we're getting ready, that was a big historic moment and very, very cool. Just everything associated. And this is, Alan, talk about how it is different just to have an event that is so long. It is very different than the normal 3 or 4 day event that we normally put on.
Well, and it's just because there's so much more going on. I don't know what the official car count is for Indy this year, but, you know, in years past, you know, 600 has not been out of the question, and sometimes we've gone north of that by a ways. You know, it's obviously the race that everybody wants to win. It's a race people come from, you know, all over the country, all over the continent. You know, fans from all over the world will come in, and it's just such a happening. There's so much going on, not just at the racetrack, but you know, Mike Goyt is putting together just a huge memorabilia show, and anybody that knows him and knows his role in preserving the past and in buy, sell, and trade memorabilia and stuff, he's just one of the biggest. But there's just always so much stuff going on in and around the event. It's hard to squeeze it all into just 3 or 4 days. So, you know, they kept expanding it. And, you know, when you talk about a 64-car comp eliminator field instead of 32, 128-car stock and super stock fields that'll both be full. It's just there's a lot of stuff going on, the two tracks of shootouts that we touched on a little bit before, and you just can't squeeze it all into 4 days, so they had to expand the schedule.
That is incredible, and I'm very much looking forward to it. Speaking of squeezing it in, we got a question a week ago for you, just one, and I'm wondering if you'd take the time to answer it.
Oh, sure. Why not? I can handle one a week.
Exactly. I think this is a pretty good one, too. Questions, of course, if you always want to send them in, 954-889-6796, or email them. And we will get to them at some point, like this one.
What the WFO is going on, Joe? This is Damon in San Antonio. Hey, I got a few questions for Alan about the pro classes, kind of the evolution of the bodies and aerodynamics of the different pro classes. You know, first of all, you know, you have pro stock bikes. I don't really know much about how the pro stock bikes are governed or ruled. If he could just kind of comment on the, you know, what they're allowed and what he sees in their future. Kind of moving on to the pro stock cars. It seems like 20, 30 years ago, seemed like pretty much what you saw on the street was the car you were going to see at the track. I remember seeing Joe Lapone's Beretta, probably one of the first front-wheel drives converted to a pro stock, and it seemed fairly close to the regular car than what you might see on the street, you know, except for maybe some wheel tub clearances. Nowadays, you know, the cars have big swollen hoods and four-door cars converted to two-door cars. You know, same thing there. Just want to see what they're allowed and what he sees in their future. And then, you know, funny car being next. I remember, you know, years back, Kenny Bernstein had his crazy Buick, and, you know, Jim Head had his old Batmobile. I'd like to see what he would say about how they would compare to today's car, and, you know, once again, where we're going in the future with these new cars. Top fuel, you know, doesn't really seem like there's been any changes or evolution of the cars in the past 10 years or so. You know, one of the coolest things I think I ever saw at the drag strip was Joe Amato run a 506 years ago in a ground effects car when the record was a 494. Of course, I don't think that was probably very safe, but still it was neat to see that they were trying something new. And, you know, there was all kinds of different tricks people were trying. I'm sure the safety of these cars is quite a bit better, but I'm mostly concerned with just the aerodynamics and just the, it seems like the only thing new is maybe the capsules on the top fuel car, and well, yeah, that's about it. If Alan could just kind of, you know, let us know what they're allowed and what he sees in the future. WFO, guys.
Well, I guess we'll start with Pro Stock. You know, Pro Stock in its early days was a street-driven car that was then transformed into a racer, kind of like what some of the super stock machines are now, especially the GT machines that have been converted to rear-wheel drive. Of course, you know, when they were running the Mustangs, the Camaros, the Pentos, the Vegas, those were already rear-wheel drive cars that they just put V8s in. You know, the evolution of the sport comes with, you know, more and more chassis and less factory floor pan, factory design car until you end up with what we have today. Pretty much every form of racing has gone through that. You know, whether it's a local Saturday night dirt track or whether it's NASCAR at the big league level or whether it's us, the evolution just keeps going forward and forward and forward. As far as the bodies they run on pro stock cars, they are basically manufactured to spec. Every one of those bodies has an electronic chip in it, and when it is presented at the tech inspection, it better have that chip in it, or else. They're very closely measured and monitored to make sure that they're not tweaked and turned and twisted. You know, the rule allows them to stretch the hood out some, because obviously you need room to put a big V8 in the front of one of those things when some of them were transverse cars when they left the factory. You know, the easiest thing to do there would just be to either go online or go to NHRA.com, and what's like $10 or $15 for a rule book, and then you can get the spec for exactly what they're allowed to do. But pro stock bodies at this point are pretty much a spec body. There's not a whole lot going on with them. You know, obviously there's one for Dodge, one for Ford, one for GM. But as funny cars been the same way. You know, guys learn things in the wind tunnel and little tweaks and little tunes, and the rule book can give you some kind of an idea for, you know, exactly what is allowed. There are some restrictions on the greenhouse. There's some restrictions on the wing. Obviously there's ground clearance issues for staging the cars on the starting line and doing other stuff. But the rule book can explain that a whole lot better than I can. You know, dragsters may not look a whole lot different from the outside, but trust me when I tell you, there's been some evolution going on, you know, from the one-piece bodies that were experimented with for a number of years. There's a lot of different things going on as far as in the driver's cockpit from a safety standpoint, and that's not just the capsule, but that's other things. You know, they put the titanium shields on the back of them a few years ago, some extra shielding and some extra stuff that you can't necessarily see, but it's certainly there. You know, working to get the chassis to flex and do what they need to do to plant the tires and handle all that horsepower has been an evolution and a work in progress. You know, you might look at a dragster and go, well, they haven't changed much in 10 years, but get one from 10 years ago, put it side by side with Tony Schumacher's car right now, and then tell me they haven't changed at all. It's a lot more subtle in the dragster, but there have definitely been a lot of things going on. Where it goes in the future, I don't know. My crystal ball's in the shop right now. I don't see any massive rule changes coming down in the short term, in part just because of the expense that it would take for all of the teams to switch over. You know, a Coletta Motorsports, a DSR, a JFR, a Morgan Lucas Racing would have tremendous expense involved if you all of a sudden said, okay, the stuff you were running last year is not legal anymore, you've got to change everything. Now, the Don Schumachers of the world, the Colettas of the world, the Lucases of the world could probably afford that and make it happen. It would be tough on them, but they could make it happen. Whereas the Tim Wilkersons of the world, the Tony Pedregons of the world, if you told them, okay, you've got to go out and spend $1.5 million on top of what you've already got, throw away all of this stuff that you've been racing for the last 5 years to start over again, you're going to put them out of business. So I don't see any major rule changes going. You know, NHRA put a moratorium on some of the stuff a number of years ago, the block, cylinder heads, blowers, pieces like that, to stop some of the teams from spending themselves into oblivion and from spending the little guys right out of the sport. So for right now, I think, you know, minor tweaks in the evolution going forward, but I don't see any major changes.
Very interesting. And the bikes, how does that work, given the nature of these motorcycles?
Basically the same. You know, they're set with a combination now where the Buells and the Harleys are running by pretty close to the same engine rules. You know, the perception that the Harleys had a huge advantage because they were allowed to do stuff nobody else is gone now, because the rules between those two have really leveled that playing field. I think that the Suzukis are certainly capable of being competitive. Look at what Jerry Savoie did out in California. Look at what, you know, some of the guys have done earlier in the year. Vance and Hines, who does a number of engines for the Suzuki teams, as well as obviously doing their own stuff, they have been pretty upfront about the fact that the Suzuki has enough power and is strong enough that it could literally be dominating the class. It's just a matter of making the tweaks and tunes and getting everything out of it. You know, there's the crew chief part of a pro stock motorcycle is maybe one of the more untapped things. I think you look at the refinement in pro stock, how much testing goes on, how much, you know, if you look at the top teams, whether it's the Summit teams, whether it's the Dodge teams, whether it's the Gray teams, whether it's, you know, you can watch the class and they pretty much stay close from session to session, you know, from Friday night to Saturday morning. If one drops two, everybody's going to drop two. You know, if you made a terrible run Friday night, that's fine. But you never see somebody just taken out of the ballpark run, and you don't see them all over the map. And you see a little bit more of that in pro stock motorcycle. And I think a big reason for that is so many of the teams that either don't have the time, don't have the budget, or just don't invest the time and the budget to go make as many test runs as the pro stock guys do. You know, I guarantee you Greg and Jason have been out at Mooresville Dragway running the cars down the track with this theoretical week off. A number of teams, I believe, are going to St. Louis to test. Pro stock guys are on the track all the time, all the time, all the time, and you don't hear quite as much about that with the pro stock motorcycles. So, you know, their combination, I believe, isn't quite as refined as it is in the pro stock categories. And, you know, that's something that will probably be a big part of the future. If somebody makes a commitment, whether it's time, whether it's resources, whether it's whatever, to go out and make 30 runs in between national events, to find that perfect sweet spot combination. When you look back in the days when, you know, Dave Schultz and the Star Racing team used to basically dominate pro stock motorcycle, it wasn't that they had 20 more horsepower than everybody, because Star and Dave were supplying motors to a lot of the guys, and they would give you, you know, we'll give you the motor out of this bike next week, we'll swap. But because they did so much more testing and had so much more refinement of the combination, and there's a difference between, hey, I'm buying a motor from you, and, you know, you're running a car for me, it's just, you know, you see so much of that. And we've seen it in pro stock as well over the years, a guy that leases engines that doesn't run as good as the guy he leases the motor from. And the normal knee-jerk reaction at that point is, oh, well, you know, he's just giving me a motor that's not as good as his. But I have also seen time and time and time again in pro stock what they call the carb-to-pan swap, where, okay, Joe, you're leasing motors for me. Last weekend I qualified at 659, you qualified at 666. So you're going, okay, well, you know what, you're not giving me as good a motor. You know, you're giving me your B stuff or your C stuff. It's like, okay, Joe, here's what we're going to do. Monday we're going to stay. We're going to do a carb-to-pan. You go out there, make a run. I'll go out there and make a run. I run 658, you run 665. We come back in the pits. I take the motor out of my car, carbs to pan. You take the motor out of yours, carbs to pan, and we swap them. Now we go out and make another run. If I run 658 and you run 665, the problem isn't my motor. The problem is your car. And if you're not paying me to tune your car, to set up your chassis, to do, that's a completely separate deal. And that's where the difference is the guys that spend all the time and all the effort going out there. You know, Jim Yates was a master at that. You know, I think pretty much everybody in the pits will tell you that Yates, for the most part, didn't have the most horsepower out there. But he had his combination refined to the point that he was going to squeeze every thousandth of a second out of what he had. And if conditions changed, if track or weather or whatever, Jim had made enough runs that he went, okay, here's what we need to do now. Here's what we need to do to the suspension. Here's what we need to do to the clutch. Here's, you know, maybe we need to change the transmission. Maybe we need to whatever. But he knew how to make that work because he had such a refined combination. And I also think that's why pretty much everybody that Jim Yates has tried to help over the last few years has improved, because he is such a detail-oriented guy, and he was so good at that. You know, you look at the guys that win when their car is fast and the guys that win when their car is not fast. And it's an interesting line out there when you look, especially in the gasoline and carburetor group, whether it's pro stock or pro stock motorcycle.
Great answer to a great question. And if you have questions, you can always send them in. Eventually, we will get to them here on WFO Radio. Alan, great job as usual. The 60th Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. It's here, baby. I travel early this week. I'll be in on Wednesday, and I know you'll be in, and you'll be handling the Traxxas Nitro shootout thing downtown. That's kind of cool. Maybe some of our listeners are going to be out there. But bottom line, lots of cool events going on in Indy.
wild. If you're in Indy, or if you're going to be Wednesday, you know, out at the racetrack, they'll be running a lot of sportsman cars, getting in just some time runs and some qualifying runs. But downtown, there will be a ton of the Nitro cars on display. We will have the drawing for the tracks of shootouts to figure out who the number eight person is going to be. There's going to be a huge autograph session down there. Monument Circle, downtown Indianapolis. Trust me when I tell you, you can't miss it. And it's just a really nice opportunity to get up close and personal, take a look at some of the cars, have a chance to chat with some of the drivers when they're not in the high pressure, we got to go, we got a race situation that they get into out at the racetrack. You know, the city of Indianapolis obviously has a tremendous motorsports history. When the Indy 500 is in town on Memorial Day, the city really gets behind it. When we're there on Labor Day, the city has always supported us very strongly, and we certainly appreciate all of that. So looking forward to it. There's lots to do, lots to see. You know, downtown Indy, I've said before, is my favorite downtown in the country. It's just a great place to hang out, a lot of restaurants, a lot of shops, a lot of just little things to do. And the city is a tremendous host city, and the race speaks for itself. I mean, 60 years of history, and we're going to go back and relive a bunch of it this weekend.
Looking forward to it. Alan, great job as usual. I will see you in a matter of days. Thank you so much.
All right, Joe. Travel safe.
Thanks, Alan. The NHRA's Alan Reinhardt joins us each week right here on WFO Radio. If that doesn't make you want to subscribe and download the app and listen on Stitcher and listen on TuneIn and anything that has an internet access, you can listen to WFO Radio wherever you are around the world. We try to make it real easy so you can hear a show like this. Got a lot going on. A lot going on. He mentioned testing out there in Indy. There was testing going on. Brandon Bernstein went 3.801 in Khaled Al-Balushi's car. So Brandon getting a little seat time. Tony Schumacher went 3.810. Billy Torrens, 3.811. Richie Crampton, 3.814. Sean Langdon, 3.838. Leah Pritchett, 3.858. Spencer Massey, 3.91.3. And Funny Car Hagen went 4.038. That was the best of the bunch, including Tommy Johnson Jr. and Jack Beckman. Courtney Force went did not go that fast, 6.98. And we will be doing programming from Indy. Giovanni in Miami is coming up as producer for WFO Radio, and we'll be in the pits and we'll be in the media center gathering audio behind the scenes. So be sure, if you're a Nitro listener, to check the website, subscribe to the RSS, so you can hear all the content from Indy. And the folks at Redline Synthetic Oil, who have been supporting WFO Radio and our U.S. national shows for so many years, are supporting us once again. Get on the website, click the banner ad, redlineoil.com, and check out their products. It is absolutely, and when it comes to synthetic motor oil, whether it be water wetter, trans gear, gear oil, they are the best. And many of the top-tier Nitro teams use Redline Oil. Check them out, redlineoil.com. All right, we'll be back right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio. Get ready for takeoff, race fans. The NHRA Carolina Nationals are back at C-Max Dragway, September 12th to the 14th. There will be no speed limits. These road rockets fly down C-Max Dragway at 330 miles per hour. All the superstars. Watch Forrest, Brown, and Schumacher push the outer limits of speed. Best of all, kids are free and every ticket is a pit pass. Call 1-800-455-FANS. The NHRA Carolina Nationals, September 12th to the 14th, only at C-Max Dragway.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. 480-7223 or visit frankhawley.com.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Now. Hey everybody, the summer is here, and that means it's time to grill. Remember just a couple of months ago when you were freezing and you were thinking, I can't wait until I can get out there and grill something? Well, now you can, and if you're going to do it, you got to do it with the most awesome barbecue rubs going. Check out RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Marvin Rodak, a big NHRA fan and WFO radio listener, has award-winning spice rubs that you can order online or by phone. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com, 817-924-6821. I just tried two new hot sauces that he's got going. The perfect condiment if you're grilling out this summer. Also, coffee in the morning. Marvin roasts his own blends. You got to try them out. RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Or if you want to kick it old school, pick up the phone, dial 817-924-6821. Say, hey, Marvin, I heard about you on WFO. I want you to send me some coffee and barbecue rub, maybe some hot sauce, and it'll show up in the mail. That's 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
The 60th annual Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals are this weekend. And WFO Radio, presented by Redline Oil, will be there. That's right, the folks at Redline sending us to Indy once again. You're going to hear inside, behind-the-scenes content, crew chiefs, celebrities. You never know who's going to be there. And since it is the 60th anniversary, anytime anybody can do anything for 60 years, it is a big, big deal. We are going big here on WFO Radio. And joining us now, he is the general manager of Lucas Oil Raceway, also a friend of the show and NHRA Stock Eliminator racer, Randy Simpson. Randy, welcome to WFO. How are you?
Joe, doing well. Thank you for having me. And it's funny, you said that the 60th anniversary Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals is this weekend, but I feel like it's already started. We've had racers actually waiting in line since last Sunday, waiting to get into the property. We got everybody being parked today. Tech inspection starts tomorrow, and we hit the track on Wednesday, and we race all the way through Monday on Labor Day itself. So we like to think that's coming up this weekend, but the U.S. Nationals are already here.
I guess so. I travel on Tuesday, and a lot of people who listen to the show say, well, the show is on Tuesday, and so obviously we have time-shifted some things. We often do that, but I will be there working on the announcing team Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I don't know. I'm going to have to pace myself with my voice, I think.
You know what? I think drag racers are always just so used to everything being a sprint that when you get to an endurance race like this one, it's almost counterintuitive. We always want to do everything we can as quick as we can and get from start to finish, but you know, from a racer's perspective, this is a challenging race because you might qualify on Wednesday and might not start round one eliminations until Friday or Saturday. So just the span of the weekend can just change the climate, the atmosphere conditions, track conditions. You know, it's probably one of the most sought-after lists for a racer to make the winning list of the big go, and all the more reason why it's such an important race is that it's not just the weekend like we talked already. It's a six-day event.
Let's talk a little bit about you and your background before we get into the events of the weekend, because I want everybody to understand that you are a racer, and the job of being the general manager of Lucas Oil Raceway is a big, big deal. It's an NHRA-owned facility. It is the flagship of the National Hot Rod Association. How did you get involved in racing, Randy? How did you start out, and how did you get from that point to where you are now?
Like a lot of people, I come into this as a second generation. My dad, he bracket raced before I was born even, and the first race I ever came to, because everybody remembers their first drag race, mine was the 1991 U.S. Nationals. So everybody remembers their first one, and I was spoiled right out of the gate because my first one was the biggest, most prestigious of them all. So it set the bar very high for every race coming thereafter. But, you know, as first a race fan and then later a racer, I've been to every single Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals, you know, for the past 23 years consecutively. And, you know, to make my 24th consecutive U.S. Nationals, the one where I get to, you know, be on this side of the fence for a change, it's a it gives you a whole new perspective. But, you know, this track, this event, personally, you know, I have an affinity with it. It means so much to me. So to have that opportunity, you know, don't come into this just as a you know, looking at it at work. This is a passion.
And that is great to hear. And I think a lot of people would say that's exactly what racing of all kinds, especially NHRA drag racing, really need. People that are taking it personally, as opposed to it's a sport that I'm working for or with. And I'm not suggesting that there are people out there that feel that way. I'm just saying it's better when you have passion.
Mm-hmm, certainly. And, yeah, I mean, we actually, I'm from Illinois originally, but before Route 66 Raceway was built over there in Joliet, we would travel over here every weekend from 1995 through 2006, racing junior dragster. So we would tow 225 miles one way to chase the track championship out here at the racetrack. So while I'm not from Indianapolis originally, this has always been a second home.
Too much passion. That's just over the top. 400-mile round trip?
For a trophy.
For a trophy. Did you get any?
Oh, yeah. We got our fair share of them.
Excellent. It's great to hear. And so this is your first U.S. Nationals as the general manager. How is that feeling for you, balancing the, my goodness, I was a kid racing here, and now I'm the one responsible for making sure that all the racers and the vendors and the sponsors and the media walk out of here Monday night feeling like this was the best event they've ever seen?
You know what? I think that we're all running so fast right now that you really don't have time to sit back and let it all soak in and really think about it from that perspective. You're just, you know, kind of like the race cars this week, and we're just running around here 300 miles per hour, making sure that everything's buttoned up, every nut and bolt is ready. And, you know, I think we'll all look back Monday afternoon and look back at the event, and, you know, hopefully it meets our expectations, and not just ours, but the racers, the race fans, and everybody, every one of our guests out here.
All right, most important stuff. What is the weather report for the weekend?
You know what? I try to control everything I can, Joe, and that one is out of my control. But I will say this right now, that we are up about 150 race cars from where we were last year. We've got over 880 cars entered. The ticket sales have been going very strong. We are all sold out of the Top Eliminator Club. And if the weather holds strong for us, this is going to be one of the best crowds we've seen at Indy in many years. So can't control the weather, but I will say this, that you know, we've been very fortunate this year so far, weather on the weekends. Hopefully it holds true for us at the U.S. Nationals. You know, that they call for things called scattered and isolated, and I'm not a weatherman, and I'm not going to pretend to be one, but I trust the track conditions more than I trust the weather. So forecasters have been wrong before, and hard to trust them.
That makes perfect sense. And when you have an event that spans over so many days, I think it's just accepted that there will be some precipitation at some point somewhere. It's just unrealistic to expect you know, 5 clean days in a row. It might not even be good for the local environment. Now, what else is going on? It is the 60th anniversary, and that's just something to marvel at in and of itself. 60 years of anything is huge, but you guys have got a lot of additional events planned for the 60th, in addition to the additional events like the Traxxas Shootouts that already happen at every Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals.
There is just so much going on at this event, and if there's one thing that we really, really do well at the NHRA, it's really connecting with the past and the legends and just the history of our sport. And that's going to be true this weekend, the U.S. Nationals, and it'll be true again later this year when they go back to Pomona for the finals, which will be the 50th anniversary for that event as well. But you've mentioned it already. We have over 800 race cars out here over the span of the weekend. We're going to have the Traxxas Nitro Shootouts and Top Fuel and a Funny Car, the Mopar Hemi Challenge, the Stock Super Stock Factory Shootout. the list goes on and on. But with the 60th anniversary, we're bringing back all the big names, Joe. We're going to have Big Daddy Don Garlitz, Don the Snake Perdomo, Shirley Modowney, Tom the Mongoose McEwen, Bob Glidden, Kenny Bernstein. They're all coming back, and it's going to be a fantastic show. And something special we're doing, a little out of the ordinary, is if you're out at the races and you wander over to the west side of the racetrack, that would be the left-hand lane of the racetrack, we've got the concourse area over there that is traditionally home for the Hot Rod Junction. And we're going to kind of shake it up a little bit this year with the Hot Rod Junction. We're going to have a bunch of cars out here for the Cackle Fest. We'll do two of those over the span of the weekend, one static Cackle Fest, one rolling one. But what's going to be really neat is we've got this, we call it the main presentation tent. And we're going to be recreating and, in some ways, reliving the six greatest moments in U.S. Nationals history. I could go into detail on all of them, but I'll just kind of dabble into one real quick. And if you've been following the stories leading up to the race this year, probably no moment stands out more in the real diehard race fan's memory than Don Garlitz in 1967. And if you don't know the story, June 11th, 1967, Don Garlitz vowed, "I am not going to shave my beard until I can run into the six-second time barrier." And so the summer ran long, Labor Day came around, and Don still had not run in the six-second time range. And so here he is at the U.S. Nationals, final round comes around, wins the race, runs a six-second elapsed time, pushes the car back to the starting line, gets out of Swamp Rat, gets the clippers right there and starts shaving his beard right in victory lane with a swarm of race fans around him. So, fast forward to 2014, Don Garlitz says on June 11th, 2014, "I'm not going to shave my beard until the 60th anniversary Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals." And if you've kept up with his progress, he's got some pretty good whiskers coming in there on Big Daddy, and he's going to come out here, recreate that moment. Sunday afternoon, just before we go into the final qualifying round for Nitro Funny Car, Don's going to go out there, and it's going to be available to race fans. So make sure you head over to the Hot Rod Junction, get there for the presentation, and then we're going to recreate Don Garlitz shaving his beard right on the winner's circle again, just like it was in 1967. So that's just one snippet of six other special moments we're going to recreate, amongst many other special activities, you know, fireworks Friday night and Saturday night, jet cars. The list goes on and on, Joe. I could talk till I'm blue in the face, but all I can say is you better buy a ticket and you better be out here to see it.
Oh, it's going to be spectacular. I will be there. Hopefully the WFO radio audience will be there in force, and we are certainly going to have a good time. A lot of people in the community are growing with Garlitz as well. It was mentioned to me that I should grow with Garlitz. Since I am unable to produce a healthy beard, I have the 5 o'clock shadow with Garlitz.
Hey, perfect.
There it is. So I will be attending with a little scruff, Sonny Crockett style.
But before anybody shaves and before you shave, Joe, we should make a mention that there will be a barber out here Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then for $20, they can cut your hair, trim your beard, and then a portion of those proceeds then go to the Pat Garlitz Foundation.
Oh, that's incredible. Will they be using a straight razor?
They will be. It's going to be old school, and it's going to be neat.
Oh, that's great. You just saved me about an hour today. I don't have to go to the barber anymore. That's excellent.
Nope, just come to the U.S. Nationals. It's one-stop shop here.
Now, obviously, the Mellow Yellow Series is the headliner of every NHRA national event, with the Nitro cars and the fact that we're now in must-win every round phase of the season, because you want to win the Traxxas Shootout for the money. You want to win the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals for the money and for the glory. And then you're in the countdown beginning at Charlotte, and we're running ads for those guys. People can click the banner ad on the front page of WFOradio.com. So all of a sudden, the NHRA season kicks into a different gear now. Every round matters greatly.
Absolutely. I mean, the stakes are never higher. And, you know, for those guys that have clinched into the championship already, into the countdown, you know, they still have the added pressure of the $100,000 bonus that's up for grabs in the Traxxas Nitro Shootout. So, you know, there is nobody out here that's really never on their toes for this event, because, first of all, you want to win this race. This is the one that can make a career. You know, few races come with a title. Few races, you know, you can be called a champion of. And that's what winning the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals can do for you. So it's certainly that bullet point that that a lot of really well-established drivers out there don't have on their resume yet. And so everybody wants to join that list. And so even if you are clinched into the countdown of the championship, there's still an added pressure for everybody that has won a race to this point or the first seven races, as well as those who may be selected from the lottery to make the Traxxas Nitro shootouts. A lot of pressure there because, you know, we can say it's a bonus race, we can say it's a fun race, we can say it's for bragging rights and for the money, but nobody likes to see the other guy win. So you have to believe that these guys are on the wheel just as though it's a points race. And then everything kind of switches gears once you get to Charlotte for the countdown of the championship, but there are a lot of guys that aren't in the field either, so as if winning this race wasn't a big enough deal already, whether this decides whether you go or go on for the championship, you know, the stakes are never higher than this race here.
Great battles and funny car. It's shaping up to have many sub-stories. And if you like stockers and super stockers, as I know you do, there's no better race to go to. Randy, give some information for the people who are listening. What I would say, look, if Randy drove 223 miles one way to race in Junior Dragster, you guys should be able to drive, I would say, 400 miles one way to go see this incredible race. Randy, give the ticket information. Where do they go if they're last second, they decide to do this on a whim, you know, like, hey, let's hit it, one of those road trip things that we hear so much about, the last second, let's just do it, guys. Where do they go to get tickets? What is the best way to get on board and experience the 60th?
You can call us at 1-800-884-NHRA. Or you can log on to the internet, www.nhratix.com. That's NHRATIX.com. Again, the phone number, 800-884-NHRA. And tickets will be available at the gate. I know that the reserve sections are filling in. Top Eliminator Club is sold out, so be sure to buy your tickets early.
It's what are you most excited for, Randy? I'm putting you on the spot because there's so much going on, things with the community, things away from the racetrack. Of course, the racing in and of itself. Is there any one thing that you are just can't separate the fact that you are a fan and a general manager at the same time?
You know, I think the piece that I look forward to the most is that, you know, for this race, like many others, you know, they don't call it the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals for no reason. That's because you have racers coming to this one from all over the country. And there are some national events that people just kind of come from more of a regional base, but there are people at this race from all corners of the country. So, you know, it's an opportunity, and everybody says that the sport's really built around people. But getting to see those faces that you see once a year at this event, probably what I most look forward to is just the camaraderie. And, you know, there's a lot of like-minded people out here that just love the sport and are passionate about it. And, you know, just reconnecting with all those people that you only see maybe once a year.
How's the local community accepting it or rallying around it? I know we're getting ready for NFL season, so I know people are thinking about the Colts. And but Lucas Oil Stadium is connected. Everything is connected through the drag racing world there. Morgan just won the most recent race, Lucas Oil Stadium, NFL, and the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. How is Indianapolis and the state of Indiana rallying around this race? The fact that 800-plus competitors are about to come in and buy gas and buy things and spend money and stay in hotels, it's got to be a big deal. What have you learned in your time there about how the local community rallies around this event?
Yeah, this racetrack throughout the entire season, and especially on this weekend, just has a tremendous economic impact to the town of Brownsburg, Indiana, Hendricks County, in the entire greater Indianapolis area. So, you know, a little bit of background that, you know, you'll probably see in press releases and people still referring to us as Claremont, Indiana. We technically belong to Brownsburg, Indiana, and we were annexed into the town back in late 2011. And they've really, you know, welcomed us with open arms. And you look at the number of race teams that are based here between John Force Racing, Don Schumacher Racing, Torrance, Vandegrift, Vance and Hines, Pettergon, you know, more and more, lots of them. And not just drag racing, but you've got a lot of a strong open-wheel contingent here as well. So, you know, to me, it's refreshing to come to a market and to a community that really embraces racing and, you know, really gets behind it. Last Tuesday, we actually had the inaugural Big Go Block Party with the town of Brownsburg. Actually did it right there at Town Hall, right on the lawn. We had, you know, great partners at Don Schumacher Racing, John Force Racing, and us here at the racetrack put on a big big fan fest, and you know, trying to we got the fan fest coming up on Wednesday as well, downtown Indianapolis. That's the big press event, but you know, it almost has kind of that feeling of speed weeks almost with Daytona, that when you go all the way back to last Tuesday at the town of Brownsburg, the big go block party, you had 2 days of testing out here with the pro teams on last Wednesday, last Thursday. You know, it feels like the month of August almost feels like the month of May over at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway with all the activity we have out here. But, you know, a tremendous support from the local community. I know we're going to have some dignitaries from the state of Indiana out here over the weekend. So there's no question just the impact that NHRA drag racing has in, you know, this market specifically, but, you know, throughout all of Indiana as well as the entire country.
Randy, I want to thank you for coming on WFO Radio to tell us all about it, and I will be living the experience just hours from now. Hopefully our WFO Radio listeners will either come out to the event, of course, that's what we would hope. If not, listen in either on NHRA.com or watch on ESPN3 or ESPN2, and the mothership, it will be well covered, but I don't think there's a better way to check it out than in person. Thank you so much for coming on WFO Radio, and I am hoping for a very exciting, fun event. And I don't know what will happen, what I will sound like next week's show, but I am certainly looking forward to the experience. Randy, thanks for coming on WFO.
Joe, thank you to you and your listeners for having me, and we'll see you at the races.
Thanks, Randy. Randy Simpson, general manager of Lucas Oil Raceway, with us here on WFO Radio. Who's ready? 223 miles, one way to race a junior dragster. That is a diehard racing family, but it obviously worked well for him. He's a responsible young man. He's a nice young man. And how about that? Now, voting for the Traxxas Nitro Shootout, that's something you need to know about. If you're listening to the show at 7 p.m. Eastern when it first comes out or anytime on demand afterwards, you know that the voting has already concluded because the drawings are on Wednesday. As of recording time of this segment of the show, Brittany Forrest has 65% of the vote in Top Fuel. Terry McMillan has 4%. Clay Milliken has 13%. J.R. Todd has 9%. Steve Torrance has 4%. And Bob Vandegrift has 5%. I could go very in-depth on how important fan and media relations are. But what's the point? I think the numbers prove it. 65% John Force Racing, they put the most effort in, they get the most out, plus Brittany is a fan favorite. But there's a lot of layers to that. And in Funny Car, it's a little more wide open. Tim Wilkerson leads the pack, 38%. Jack Beckman second with 28%. Matt Hagen third with, I'm sorry, Dell Worsham third with 14%. Matt Hagen fourth with 10%, followed by Tony Pedregon and Bob Tasca, BT3, with 5%. Now remember, just because you get the highest percentage does not mean you are in. That's the percentage of lottery balls that you get in the hopper, the hoppa. So Brittany, 65%, she'll get 65 lottery balls in the hoppa. And Steve Torrance will get 4%. That doesn't mean that Torrance can't win, which I think is a great way to do it. I actually really like it. And that will go down on Wednesday. You heard Alan talking about it a little bit earlier. Very interesting stuff. I love the Traxxas Nitro Shootout. It is going to be spectacular. All right, more to show yet to come, but I want to tell you about the folks at Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Open a browser and go to frankhawley.com. Check out what they got going. Are you a corporate operator? Do you have a sales team? Do you have an event? Do you want to put on an event? Do you want to take your people, your clients, to something special and spectacular? Check out the Dragster Adventure. Give them a call, 866-480-7223. Tell them you heard it here on WFO Radio. Last week I was doing the spot, and I was talking about the Dragster Adventure and the Dragster Adventure Challenge going on in Reading, Pennsylvania, September 4th and 5th. And I did a little comparison because I had a conversation about what you might get that's equivalently priced going around an oval track. And it was brought to my attention that in an oval track, you're not driving. You are riding. No matter what you get for 8 laps or 10 laps, you're not driving. You're not controlling your own destiny. And then when it's over, it's over. Whereas the dragster adventure, you get in the car, you start the car, you pull into the water, you do a burnout, you back up, you stage it up, you smash the gas, you feel the thrill. You pass the finish line, you get it wowed down, you make the turnoff, you get out. And you think about what you did. And you feel the exhilaration. And then you do it again. It's not just over. It's something that lasts a lot longer over the course of the day, even though the runs and the experience are shorter. So I think it is a great value. 866-480-7223. That's Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Maybe you want a license. Maybe you want to upgrade to Super Comp. Maybe you want to get a top alcohol funny car license. They can do it all. Or you just want the dragster adventure. They are the premier drag racing school, of course. Legend Frank Hawley, funny car world champion, driving the Chi-Town Hustler, been working with drivers all the way up to the Mellow Yellow Series, and most of the drivers you hear who have done well have gone through Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. This is your opportunity. Go to frankhawley.com or call 866-480-7223. Tell them you heard it on WFO. WFO, baby. They're talking about it. You want to do the dragster adventure? It'll change your perspective. You will now know what it feels like to drive a dragster. We'll be back with more on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Hey, everybody. The summer is here, and that means it's time to grill. Remember just a couple of months ago when you were freezing and you were thinking, I can't wait until I can get out there and grill something? Well, now you can, and if you're going to do it, you got to do it with the most awesome barbecue rubs going. Check out RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Marvin Rodak, a big NHRA fan and WFO radio listener, has award-winning spice rubs that you can order online or by phone. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com, 817-924-6821. I just tried two new hot sauces that he's got going. The perfect condiment if you're grilling out this summer. Also, coffee in the morning. Marvin roasts his own blends. You got to try them out. RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Or if you want to kick it old school, pick up the phone, dial 817-924-6821. Say, hey, Marvin, I heard about you on WFO. I want you to send me some coffee and barbecue rub, maybe some hot sauce, and it'll show up in the mail. That's 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist.
I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Get ready for takeoff, race fans. The NHRA Carolina Nationals are back at CMAX Dragway, September 12th to the 14th. There will be no speed limits. These road rockets fly down CMAX Dragway at 330 miles per hour. All the superstars. Watch Forrest, Brown, and Schumacher push the outer limits of speed. Best of all, kids are free and every ticket is a pit pass. Call 1-800-455-FANS. The NHRA Carolina Nationals, September 12th to the 14th, only at CMAX Dragway.
Can we call you nine time?
Absolutely. And I like hearing it. You call me as many times as you want.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio, getting ready for the 60th Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. Lots of storylines out there. The countdown, the Traxxas shootouts, all of these things, and who better to talk about it with than Fast Jack Beckman, who is involved and on the edge and on the cusp of many of these. Jack, welcome to WFO. How are you?
Good to be back, Joe.
You, sir, find yourself in some interesting situations. On the brink of the countdown, the winner of the Traxxas shootout last year, trying to get votes. How are you doing? Getting ready for Indy.
Yeah, you know, right now I'm getting ready to take my kids to the Discovery Science Center back home here in Santa Ana, California. So I still get to do the regular person and the dad stuff. And then tomorrow I hop on an airplane to head out to Indy. I kind of got to go into racer mode. But Indy's such a long race, and there's so many other things other than just the national event. You're talking about the track, the shootout. I've got to rely on the fan votes and then the lotto draw. They're going to have a deal in downtown Indy Wednesday for that, so that's going to add another level of drama. And then the countdown. You know, we've got to outlast Tim Wilkerson by at least a round. We've got to not get any more oil down penalties. I mean, the math can work out in so many different ways. We just need to get into that countdown. And then I always love Fridays at Indy because it's the only national event where we only make one run in a day. And it's Friday night, so it gives us the whole day to just kind of do racer stuff, walk around, watch the sportsman cars run, and then DFR's got this huge open house right down the street from the track. We do a driver's signing, they got a car show there, they got a Capital Fest with nostalgia stuff. It makes Friday a pretty cool deal for a one-run day.
We have been at the open house. It's something I definitely wanted to speak with you about, because we have had such a good time there, and it benefits a great cause. Hopefully our listeners will go out to it and see exactly what goes into these teams. I think that changes the perspective of many fans, Jack, when they see the shop and what's going on behind the scenes to make it all happen.
Yeah, it's stunning. Our shop's over 100,000 square feet. All seven Nitro teams are housed in there. We've got a fab shop. We've got a chassis shop, we've got a body mounting shop, and we've got a machine shop where we make our cylinder heads, connecting rods, clutch parts, and a lot of other things for the cars. It's breathtaking to see how far and how professional drag racing has become when you see the level of these team shops, especially the multi-car teams, where we can do things like bring the machine shop and the chassis building in-house.
Very, very cool, and of course, the kids at the Riley Hospital for Children will be benefiting, so it all goes to a good cause. And always something interesting going on there, and we have been fortunate to be there the past couple of years. I would imagine there will be WFO audio from the open house once again, since we will be in Indy. A lot going on around this one, Jack. Now, you with a new crew chief very recently. You with a new team at the start of this year. I remember you telling me at the open test down there at PBIR that you guys were gelling. You had to take a whole new group and gel. Nothing helps a team find confidence than a trial by fire, so to speak, and making the countdown would be that trial, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's been a difficult year. I want to be open about this. There's nine positions on that team, crew chief, assistant crew chief, and seven mechanics, and we've had 13 different people in those slots on my Valvoline car throughout the year. And it's tough dealing with a lot of change. You don't think it's a big deal losing your tire and body guy, but remember, the next person you bring in, even if they've done that job before, You need to educate them on how you want it done. And a lot of times they were a different position on another team, which means you got to take the time to train them. And you're doing this while you're on the road between races, thrashing between rounds. It's been very difficult to keep up. And just brought Todd Okahara back on board to tune the car. But he's not exclusively on the Valvoline Infinite Hero car. You know, he still is the co-crew chief on Spencer Schumacher Electric Dragster. And he's still doing some advising on Bob Tasca's car because we're selling them parts. So he's spread pretty thin. He came on board in Brainerd, and then we just had a really good two-day test at Indy last Wednesday and Thursday, and I thought that went very, very well. I wish we would have had an opportunity to do that testing before we ever went to a race with Todd, but that's the way the schedule was. We went to Brainerd. We at least closed up one round further on Wilkie for the top 10 spot. So as a fan, I mean, I love this stuff, all this drama. And that was the whole point of the countdown. I'm still a purist, and I think that we should go from absolute points, but I completely understand why NHRA did this, is they were trying to add drama and keep from being the points championships from being decided in September in some cases, like Force did a lot of times in the past. So here I am getting more PR than the guy sitting in first and second, but not for the reasons I want it, because we're not in the countdown right now. I've never finished outside of the top five, and you have zero chance of running for the championship if you're not in the top 10. So from a fan standpoint, fantastic. From a driver standpoint, it's a lot of added stress.
But you have a chance to win the championship as of now, whereas under the other system, you probably wouldn't at this point. You'd have to go on like a historic tear. Technically, you could pull the Robert Height, just barely get in, and you and Todd and the team gel, figure it out at the right time, rip off a couple of wins, Jack Beckman, champion. That could happen.
Yeah, I actually feel very, very confident about that. I feel like if we can make the countdown, we can run for the championship. The issue right now, the battle in front of us is making that countdown. You know, the problem is you can have the best team, the best parts, the biggest budget, and the best sponsors, and something silly breaks on one of these cars and you're done. You get an oil leak backing up from the burnout. A brand new oil line ruptures or fuel line, things that you can't necessarily foresee, and even the best maintenance, you'll get bit by a couple times in a season. Well, the problem is we don't have any of those options anymore. We have to be nearly flawless, and we have to go rounds at Indy. And if we don't, it means we just didn't earn a spot in that countdown. But if we do, I really do think we have a shot at winning the championship again.
Currently 28% of the vote as of this recording in the Traxxas Nitro Shootout. Wilkes got 38 as of this moment. You have considerably more than anybody else, though. 28%. You're gonna have a decent chance to pull that lottery ball.
Gosh, if I'd have known Wilkie was gonna get so many votes, I wouldn't have voted for him. I'd have voted for myself.
Have you had any kind of sustained campaign, Jack?
Sustained campaign. Yeah, my wife posted a couple pictures on Facebook. No. And, you know, DSR hasn't done like they did for Hagen 2 years ago, only because Matt and I are both in the voting on this. So it'd be a little bit tough for them to have a concentrated campaign, but do it for two different drivers. And I know Bob Wilber, Wilkie's PR guy, does a phenomenal job over there. And the reality is, even if somebody gets 90% of the fan vote, it's a lotto draw. They put ping pong balls in the topper, they spin it around, and they pull one out. So everybody, all six of us have a shot at it. Timmy right now has exactly a 38% chance of winning, but whatever. You know what? I wanted us to get in on winning a race, and we didn't do that. So if we don't get in, there's nobody to blame. But I'm excited. I'll tell you this. For the first time this year, I really feel like we have a car that could do a double up, could win the track and win the Indy race. So if we do get voted in, I feel like we're going to give the fans a great show. Now, the interesting thing is whoever gets voted in that eighth spot will race first round of track, just whoever's currently leading the point. That would be John Force. So, man, is that going to be a big mountain to climb right away.
And exactly what the fans are buying tickets to see. It's going to be spectacular. Jack, before I let you go, I know you got the gravity clock out in front of the Discovery Center where you are. I'm sure at least that's the one in Fort Lauderdale has that with the bowling balls that keep time. It's kind of cool. But what about all the extra stuff going on? Let's talk to Jack Beckman, drag racing fan. The 60th Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. Garlitz is going to shave his beard again. All of these associated moments. What does it all mean to you?
Well, I'm a huge fan, and I'm a historian. I absolutely eat this stuff up. And all the fans need to realize that when you get to Indy, you get so much more than just a race. You get an event. Everybody needs to go over on the left side of the drag strip. There's a nostalgic corral there with some amazing cars from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And even cooler than the cars, I think, some of the drivers from the 50s and 60s are still there. I remember during a rainout 2 years ago, I went over and I spent an hour with Hayden Prophet. I think he was 80, 81 at that time. And there's a guy that has driven everything from a 409 Chevy stock eliminator car to a rocket car. And I'm telling you, there's 10 other people out there with pedigrees like that. Barb Hamilton, the first gal licensed to drive a supercharged vehicle, have her old C-Gas Willys out there. They restored, Preston Davis restored Ray Godman's Tennessee Bowweevil car. It's going to be there. You guys got to go over and see that nostalgia stuff. And I'm telling you, the action on the track is fantastic, and it's a marathon in Indy. But the stuff that's going on outside of there, Bob Gordon's going to be out there signing an autograph. You know, just these absolute icons, legends, and pioneers.
Jack, thank you for making the time for us here on WFO Radio. Certainly want to hear more from you in these coming races. I have a feeling you are on the right track. We wish you the best of luck throughout the weekend. Of course, you will enjoy it, but you will make the drama. You will entertain. Thank you for doing it. We appreciate it.
Whatever it's going to be, Joe, it's going to be exciting. And hey, for all the fans that want to come to our shop on Friday, remember, all the benefits there, all those proceeds go to the Riley Children's Hospital, and all us drivers are going to go there Wednesday and wish these kids well. So it's a win-win situation. See everybody out there next week.
Thanks, Jack.
Bye, Joe.
Fast Jack Beckman with us here on WFO Radio. A team with its back against the wall. They are going to come out swinging, and it's pretty tough. Wilkerson holds the number 10 spot, 16 points ahead of Jack Beckman. That is close. Jack comes out of the test. He's feeling great. He's got to go some rounds. He's got to go a round further than Wilkerson is basically what we're talking about, or get some of those little points. It's very possible. Very interesting stuff. The track's a shootout. The voting closed today at 12 noon. They will draw the lottery balls tomorrow and find out who will be in the Traxxas Nitro shootout. Very, very interesting stuff. All right, when we come back, we're going to wrap this thing up here on WFO Radio. All right, when we come back, more. All right, when we come back, more WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. I want to remind you, WFO will be in Indy. We'll be speaking with these racers that you're hearing about. We're going to talk to the nostalgia guys. We're going to talk to the current guys. We're going to talk to the crew chief. All thanks to the folks at Redline Oil sending WFO Radio up there. Of course, I will be on the NHRA announcing team for the weekend. You can follow me on Twitter. You can follow WFO Radio on Twitter. I am WFO Joe. You can follow along, but most importantly, subscribe to WFO Radio. There's an RSS feed, and you can subscribe on iTunes. You can subscribe to the RSS feed, to the feed burner. Never miss a show. You can download the WFO Radio app, enable push notifications. Just be sure to listen every week. It's crunch time now. It matters. We see in our numbers that people are there towards the beginning of the year, and then it maybe levels off in the summer months and then ramps up big time come U.S. Nationals. So let your friends know. Tweet, retweet, repeat. Let your friends know what we got going on here on WFO Radio. But right now, it's time to talk about the folks at RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. All right, drag racing fans, here's what it is. Labor Day weekend. What are you going to be barbecuing on your grill? Marvin Rodak is a big WFO Radio listener and NHRA drag racing fan and award-winning barbecue and coffee roaster. That's right. Go to front page of WFOradio.com and click on Rodax Coffee and Barbecue Grills. It will take you to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. They have blended a special roast of coffee, the WFO Radio blend, specifically for you, the WFO Radio audience. Order yourself a bag. They do hot sauces. They do barbecue rubs. They do all kinds of different things that have to do with barbecuing, coffee, grilling, and just enjoying life when it comes to eating and drinking. I start every morning with a little WFO Radio blend, although I like the Bang the Blower espresso blend as well. I've tried the Kopi Luwak. I've tried all of them now and absolutely love it. Give them a call, 817-924-6821. Say, hey, Marvin. They're talking about you on WFO Radio, Marvin. They're saying all kinds of things, Marvin. They're saying things about you. RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com, 817-924-6821. You will love it. Had the money man in here a week ago on the Ignition Show. He had ordered the hot sauces. He had ordered WFO Radio Blend. He had ordered the spice rubs and absolutely loved it. Try it once. You'll never go back. That's RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
This is WFO Radio.
Get ready for takeoff, race fans. The NHRA Carolina Nationals are back at C-Max Dragway, September 12th to the 14th. There will be no speed limits. These road rockets fly down C-Max Dragway at 330 miles per hour. All the superstars. Watch Forrest, Brown, and Schumacher push the outer limits of speed. Best of all, kids are free and every ticket is a pit pass. Call 1-800-455-FANS. The NHRA Carolina Nationals, September 12th to the 14th, only at C-Max Dragway.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. 480-7223 or visit frankhawley.com.
Red Line Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials, known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
Hey, this is Joe Costello, and we'll be back to the show in a second. But first, I want to tell you about CompetitionPlus.com. There's a reason CompetitionPlus.com is the leader among drag racing electronic magazines. Their trained staff is always on alert and always asking the tough questions. The end result is hard-hitting drag racing journalism with up-to-the-minute reporting. For over a decade, CompetitionPlus.com has been a pioneer as drag racing's go-to source for the latest in news, race coverage, and high-quality photography. Their trained staff thrives on getting the inside stories, and their columnists study their topics before they hit their first keystroke. When it comes to covering the races, they leave you feeling as if you've actually been to the race. CompetitionPlus.com is an honest-to-goodness, free drag racing magazine, published by the most passionate of drag racing fans, who just happen to be journalists. Don't wonder what's going on in the drag racing world. Be in the know daily. Log on to CompetitionPlus.com.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio. Everybody is getting ready for the 60th annual Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. And it is such a huge event. The fields will be huge. And this is a great opportunity to catch up with a friend of the show, runs a limited schedule, but will be racing this weekend. Joining us now, Blake Alexander. Blake, welcome back to WFO.
What's up, Joe? Thank you for having me back on. I'm excited to do this the week of the big go.
I have had a long-standing question in my question box about you. Basically, hey, what happened with Blake? Where's Blake? We want to know about Blake. And when the time was right, got you on the show. What's up with Blake? You're back this week. That's great.
Well, I've just been working hard, obviously. I mean, at the beginning of the season, I was kind of handcuffed by my situation with, I thought I had something going for me that was going to continue on from my previous year's partnership, but that didn't end up happening, so I was kind of stuck in limbo, if you will, and I've been learning a lot of deep intricacies of the, you know, business side of racing, or the marketing side, if you will, and that's very helpful when you're trying to cultivate new partnerships. So I still stand by my value proposition and work on it daily, but day in and day out, this is really the decision-making time right now for things next year, and I'm deep in it, and this race was just too big to pass up to not go to for Paul and me and all of our sponsors. We all wanted to be there.
It's just the 60th is so significant. As a young driver who is working so hard to try to be a part of this sport on a full-time scale, when you think about an event that has gone on for 60 years, what does that mean to you?
It means it's been going on, and it's a lot more important than any place I'll ever be in the sport. So I just am very honored to be able to come out and compete with these people who have been making the sport what it is, and hopefully I can carry on what they've started if I just keep working hard. And, you know, I'm just very blessed to have the opportunity, but it is a lot of hard work behind the scenes to get out and make a 4-second pass, you know, at 300 miles an hour plus.
You have been through the situation a couple of times now of having made some runs and then stepped out of the car for a couple of months and then gotten back in at a crucial time, at a big event. How difficult is that for you, Blake, to get reacclimated to going 300 miles per hour?
I mean, I tried to downplay it, and, you know, any driver will tell you the first for a little while, you're out of the groove a little bit, and not, hopefully not really out of the groove, but just out of your normal groove that you go through as a driver. But I try to do my best to compartmentalize my thoughts and focus on basically the hand, and that's, you know, there's simple little things that you have to tell yourself and do and understand. I don't think the speed really bothers me as much. The vibration of a funny car, though, is something that is kind of, you can't simulate in your head, or it vibrates a lot when it's going out to, when it goes one-to-one. And so you kind of have to just get your eyes in tune with that and make sure your brain and your foot and your head and everything is all working together, because if it's not, you know, behind, then you're hurting equipment, parts, pieces, and all kinds of different manners. But I just can't do that with the position we're in right now, so I just have to keep working on doing this with the amount of runs I have.
How challenging is the environment out there? I always have the CNBC on in the background and watching stock market go up, go down, but I'm hearing, this is what I'm hearing, Blake, and I want to hear what you're hearing about what I'm hearing, that it's never been better for corporate America. They have more money on the books, on their balance sheets. Their balance sheets are cleaner. They have more access to capital. They have more options and opportunity than ever before. The general economy, like the consumer, might not have a ton of money in their pocket, but are you finding avenues to capitalize, given what they are saying on some of these financial networks?
Yeah, I think that there's some truth to that. Obviously, some companies have their own struggles, and if you can't, you know, it doesn't matter if from market to market your promotions you do around the race team, show return on investment and retain sales and boosted sales. It just doesn't matter if the company is having its own struggles, even if your racing program is successful. So that's something I've kind of found out. But to get back around to that question, it is true, but the other thing that you have to look at is that the marketing dollars are being much more judiciously than they were in the past. People are looking for a much larger calculable return than they used to get. It's not just getting eyeballs on a name. It's all about, you know, making the bottom line enhanced and also driving sales and doing the other customer goodwill stuff that's always been a part of motorsports for a long time. And moving to Charlotte has really given me, you know, an eye-opening experience with working with some people in NASCAR and getting the opportunity to talk to them and talking to other people who are knowledgeable in the drag racing background of it. I'm very blessed to have been able to talk to some people and let them share information with me, because I think some people really do want back out there and do well, just because I've kind of done it all on my own from day one. And I think people can tell that in the tone of my voice and just how I talk about everything and come across it.
Well, I agree. I think people are interested in finding what's going to work for them. But deep down, everybody loves the underdog story, too. And a young man like yourself out there trying to make it happen, who won't take no for an answer, that's still very appealing.
Yeah, I mean, I've deflected quite a few. I've had some real job opportunities presented to me to come to Chicago and work at a marketing place and some other stuff down in NASCAR down here. But I want to keep working for myself, and I've learned how to do some other business-to-business things to help me make some money, and some consulting stuff I've done around for other businesses, something completely unrelated to drag racing. So I'm looking forward to that, something that I'll keep working on in the future. But a majority of my time is spent on a day-to-day basis. My computer flies open at 5:30. It closes at 6, and not 6 p.m., 5:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., and then... You know,
you're putting in a half hour a day, Blake. Geez.
No, that's what drag racers wish they could do, if it happened that way. So it's a lot of different things. And then once you do get sponsorship set up, even for just one event, there's many different steps and processes you have to go through to sure you do it right. Because if there's really not any point in taking someone's money if you're not going to do it right. Because I want to be able to show at the end of the year what every motorsports team needs to show, is that they can lay it out on a spreadsheet and they can show that there's return on it. So ultimately the people in the board don't say this needs to get deleted or taken out of the equation for our company.
Very interesting. Always love speaking with you about the sponsor side of things. As WFO, we're in the same boat as a radio show. We have to justify our existence with sponsors, and obviously our overhead is a little bit less than burning nitro down the 1,000-foot strip, but just the same, it's interesting to hear your passion for it. Let's talk a little racing. Once you get out to the track and you're able to close the laptop and pick up the helmet, this race, so important, all the qualifying sessions, it's a marathon, going to be a lot of legends there. You're going to be showing up with a legend, Paul Smith.
Yeah, he's been going there, I'm pretty sure, for all 60 years. He tells me stories about how they used to jump over the fence and you get done running and go straight back up to the staging lanes, which I just think is really cool and could never happen with today's nitro cars because there's so much involved in making one pass. But, you know, we did pretty well at Charlotte the last time we came out. We went around and then we kind of, you know, all agreed on a decision with what we were going to do for the next round, and we ended up just running 4:15, and we could have pushed a little harder and ran a little better. In the first round, I deep staged, and we ran 4:13, so it was probably a 09 or at least a 10. And, yeah, we just have to keep going and see what we can do. Obviously, the weather, if it comes and helps us out a little bit, that'll be nice. But the first round is always at 11 a.m., so you got to grab a good qualifying spot and then cut a good light if you're a independent team, and that's how you can get out of the first round. And then after the first round, the playing field really evens back out as you run into the hotter hours of the day.
It will be a lot of fun to watch. I'm glad that you guys are going to be out there. Do you have any other races planned after this one for 2014?
Not right now. I mean, I just grabbed some money from my sponsors, and it's not going to be enough to make all the runs, so we might not be racing on Friday, but on Saturday we'll be out there and be trying to do well. So it's just a slow, steady process. I actually don't even really work on stuff to run one race. I think it's kind of funny. John Forrest doesn't want a one-year deal. He wants a three-year deal, and I don't want a three-race deal. I want to be running, you know, 12 or 24 and don't really want to cut it any other way because, you know, drag racing isn't exactly the easiest way to make money if you're just running four or five races, and I can sure tell you that it's, you know, a lot more stressful when you're just not doing it exactly the way you want to be doing it, and the bodies cost a lot, and the blowers cost a lot, and everything costs a lot, and you want to be able to run it, you know, with the wick where you want it and not be kind of holding back and trying to do everything the wrong way, if you will, because that's really not how we want to race, but we definitely know how to skin a cat a different way than other people out there, so we'll see what we can do.
Blake, good luck this weekend. I will be there as part of the announcing team. I will definitely track you down. Thanks for coming on WFO. Good luck at the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals.
All right, I'll see you out there, and hopefully I get to talk to you a lot with good news at the end of the racetrack.
Wouldn't that be nice? Go get them.
All right, talk to you later on.
Blake Alexander with us here on WFO Radio. Young man is aggressively going after it. You got to take your hat off to him. I'd love to see him get a sponsor and see what they can do with some stabilized cash flow in that team in 2015. And I know there are a lot of people that root for Blake because he is fresh, new, and exciting in the sport of NHRA drag racing. Now, before we get out of here, I want to remind everybody, subscribe to the show so you do not miss any of the action on location from the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. WFO Radio is going to be out there. They're going to be in the media center. They're going to be all around, they as in we. And you don't want to miss a second. Go on WFOradio.com. Click those banner ads, Redline, Synthetic Oil, Pure Performance. They're the ones sponsoring our U.S. Nationals coverage. Check it out. Get some water wetter. Get some Redline Synthetic motor oil or gear oil for your performance car or your daily driver. It is definitely something you want to check out. Click the banner ad on WFOradio.com. You can also get tickets for race one of the NHRA countdown by clicking on the banner ad for Z-Max Dragway. Click here for tickets right there on the front page of WFOradio.com. Obviously, the show is free because we've got all these great sponsors, but to get to Indy is a different story, and a big thanks from the folks at Redline Oil. And if you want some, well, I want some Redline Oil. Where do I get it? Amazon.com is the best place to get Redline Oil. You can just get on there, order it, ships right to you, Amazon style. No drones yet, but soon enough, I'm sure. Check it out, Redline Synthetic Motor Oil, sending WFO Radio to the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. Big thanks to Blake Alexander for coming on the show. Good to catch up with Blake. Big thanks to Jack Beckman. Fast Jack got his back against the wall. Fast Jack got his back against the wall, y'all. We'll see what he does and if he can come out in the countdown. Thanks to Randy Simpson for coming on the show, the general manager of Lucas Oil Raceway. I was going to call him the general mangler just for fun, but the guy's doing too good a job. Randy, friend of the show, coming on. Everybody's growing with garlic. And, of course, Alan Reinhart. I will be in Indy beginning on Wednesday. Actually, I'm on my way there right now. The Ignition Show will be available as well, though. We'll talk Irwin Tools Night Race. We'll make our pick. Everything will continue here on WFO Radio. If you're new to the show, thank you for listening. If you're an old veteran of the show, as in you've been listening a long time, not that you're old, not that that matters, tell a friend, it's countdown time, baby. U.S. Nationals and beyond. We want you letting all your friends know about WFO Radio. That's going to do it. Big thanks to everyone behind the scenes. Patrick the webmaster, Giovanni in Miami, everybody that helps out on the Facebook page and the website. We certainly appreciate it. And we'll see you in Indy, the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
I love WFO Radio.